number of complaints on that sidewalk, and I, as a frequent person there, can definitely understand other citizens being concerned when some of my neighbors' behavior is uncomfortable for them. It's very important for you to think about that number of 100 and some complaints and compare it to the number of complaints you've had from the R2-D2 rest area. You know what is working, and you need to broaden that. There is a lot of disrespect that's felt. However, I do want to say that when I was here yesterday, certainly Mr. Krueger is not my favorite police officer, and I was sad to see that the vigil structure was disassembled. But I do feel that some respect, a reasonable level of respect, was shown, with the exception of the complicated issue of that First Amendment protected structure. But the main thing is shelter and care for needy citizens. R2-D2, you almost never have complaints there. It's very rare for me to see a police car near the Chinese gate and the tents. And I hope, especially our new housing commissioner, but all of you together, will look at expanding that model. And of course, we heard about the Gallagher-Smith legal action that's going on. You also have a legal action involving R2-D2, a very poor use of city resources. So please just keep that in mind, and thank you for your time and the respect that you do show.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Nicole Childs. Sorry, I didn't actually plan on speaking today, but actually hearing from some of the folks in here made me stir up the strength. So a little bit about myself. 29 years old. I graduated with a degree in marine biology. I am currently homeless because I was escaping an abusive household situation. Me and my partner have been on the streets for just over a week now, and there, through very extensive research, I was unable to find really any resources at all for couples. And I've been accosted twice in the street here in Portland when I was working and had a place to live. I'm not the strongest built young lady, which makes me feel a little unsafe. So I do not want to separate from my partner and go to a shelter where I have no idea what's going to happen there. So anyway, we finally found R2-D2, and I believe they might be your only resource in the city for couples. And they're doing very extremely awesome work there, helping people find shelter. And that's the other thing, I suppose, was that there are a lot of resources out there for people with, you know, drug problems and disabilities or war vets or battered women or families, and all that is very necessary. It's very important. But there are some of us, too, that are just don't have drug problems. We may not be escaping domestic violence between a partner and myself, or I'm not a war vet. I'm just a normal person who's experiencing a tough time in my life. And I think that the funding, there should be more funding for places like R2-D2 who really focus and concentrate on helping people transition from difficult situations in a safe environment, and support people not doing drugs and all that kind of stuff, and help them find a place. I need a place like that right now, somewhere where I can be so that maybe I can get some work and then get myself back on my feet. You know, it's a transition. And I also advocate for more women's shelters as well. But if we had the capability of expanding more places like R2-D2, I think you'd find that a lot of homeless couples could really use that help. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's all I had signed up.
Okay, thank you all very much. I think unless there's any further council discussion, we'll take a vote. It's an emergency ordinance, and it goes into effect immediately.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate the testimony. Again, we are investing $15 million to address homelessness in our city. That's not an insignificant amount by any metric. So I want to thank the council for approving this budget. As Commissioner Fish did allude to, the Housing Bureau was 100% funded this year in its budget, thanks to the advocacy of Commissioner Fish and others in the community. And so this is this money will make a difference. And as I said earlier, we're also looking at the needs for women in terms of more emergency shelter and more housing options. Aye.
Novick?
I appreciate Commissioner Saltzman moving this item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda so that we could hear what we are doing in this community. And thanks to Danielle and DeSalle and the folks here who have testified. I mean, I know this probably won't make any difference to you, but I would like to remind folks that in the budget this year, we cut funding for the police, we cut funding for fire, we did not cut funding for the homeless. I know that it's not enough, but I do think that that reflects our priorities. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you all for being here today and for this testimony. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for pulling the item for discussion. It is an uncomfortable discussion. It's an uncomfortable situation where folks don't have safety, and it's the most basic need to feel safe. So I appreciate you coming and talking about this with us. We do share your concern. It's obviously hard to hear that, and it's hard to believe that when there are still so many needs still outstanding. The $15 million is only a part of the housing budget. And Joe, I will get back to you on specifically what the Multnomah County allocation is for. And as the mayor said, the records are open. You can ask the question, and Commissioner Saltzman and his staff will get back to you as to the percentage of administration. When you're talking about salaries, though, services take people to provide the service. It's not a matter of handing out $15 million. Could I have my turn to talk, please? Because you've had an opportunity, and I'd really appreciate it if you'd hear me out. It takes people to set up their services, to find their apartments, to do all the kinds of things that are necessary in order to help a person. And I agree that R2D2 is a great model, and I salute the folks who've been there, the leadership, the independent folks, and providing housing for couples. And thank you for your courageous testimony. I appreciate that, because there's no such thing as the homeless. There is a lot of individuals experiencing homelessness, and each of you has your own story. So I thank you for coming to tell some of those stories today. And I will continue to work to help solve these problems for each individual. As Commissioner Fish said, we are not going to end homelessness for everybody. We are going to end homelessness one person at a time, because that's how people became homeless, is one person at a time. Aye.
Fish.
No, hey, I'm sorry. Everybody gets to speak, but they sign up. No, the testimony is over. Sorry. We're voting now. I'm sorry. If you signed up and you were called, you had an opportunity.
Crystal, I'll be happy to meet with you later.
Yeah, we'll meet with you. Yes. So, please, no, we're spending money on ending homelessness, or trying to. So this is an expenditure of $15 million. Yes, okay. That's what we're voting on.
Fish.
You know, Bud Clark was the first mayor of this city to say that homelessness was a city concern. And he had the first plan to end homelessness, and the seeds of which have led to this 10-year plan. Gretchen Gaffori was the first housing commissioner, and she was the first one to say that the city should invest in mission-driven nonprofits to do the work, which is how we invest our dollars. And I think Gretchen, if she's watching, would be somewhat alarmed that our friends on the left are criticizing the model that she pioneered of the city investing with mission-driven nonprofits to deliver services to people in need. Commissioner Eric Sten led the process that culminated in a plan to end homelessness. And he fought to have more and more general fund money put into homelessness, and he fought to have urban renewal money invested. And in the last 5 years, I think the figure is somewhere close to $200 million of urban renewal money invested in building homes. Northwest Pilot Project issues a report every year, and for 30 years they've documented a steady decline in homes that are affordable for low-income people. And ultimately, the solution to ending homelessness is to provide homes. Shelters are a temporary solution. Homes are a long-term solution, and everyone in our community should have the right to have a home. For 30 years, we've seen a steady decrease in homes that are affordable downtown. Because of investments which the community has been willing to make, this year for the first time, Northwest Pilot Project reported an increase in affordable homes downtown. That's small progress. It is not going to end the problem, but it is steady progress. We live in a time where there's a national party which is advocating for the elimination of a particular federal agency that's called HUD. And their major candidate ran on a platform for president for the elimination of HUD. These conversations we have here are very important, and it is very important for people to come forward and to share their opinions and their frustrations with us. But when you step back for a moment and you think about that we live in a time where there is a dominant political party that believes it is no longer the province of the federal government to invest in housing, it gives me pause. Whatever we do at the local level, we cannot be successful without a federal partner. And what I suspect is going to happen on this issue and on health care and on veteran services and on mental health and on so many issues that we care about, we are going to have loud and passionate debates at the local level damaging the fallout of the consequence of the defunding of programs at the federal level that build community. And you know what? If I was the person behind the curtain trying to figure out how to erode community in our country, you could not be more successful than to cut off the funding at the federal level and then let us fight over the scraps at the local level. And this is going to get worse on every issue we deal with because people at the local level are going to be frustrated with the degradation of services they care about, and they're going to confront their local officials and ask to hold them accountable. And we'll have these kinds of discussions, but ultimately the solution lies somewhere else. And together, we can take the passion and energy in this room and address upstream what is the real problem in this country, which is federal priorities, not local priorities. We can have that debate. We can have that debate, but in the short term, what I fear will happen is we will tear each other apart rather than focusing on the true source of the problem. This council supported a 100% add-back package for housing, while, as Commissioner Novick points out, we cut public safety. This council and this housing commissioner is committed to making progress, and together I think we can make progress. Today, we're authorizing and allocating $15 million. It is not enough to do the job. $15 million is not enough. But this money is going to groups like NAIA. This money is going to groups like Central City Concern and Transition Projects and others who are doing great work in the trenches. So as we acknowledge that we have more work to do, today I want to thank our partners in the trenches, from the faith community, from the mission-driven nonprofits, and from local government, who are working hard every day. Let me finish.
Folks, everybody gets to speak in this room, and nobody gets to get interrupted. It applies to each one of you and each one of us. That's the deal. Proceed, please, Commissioner.
And today we have a chance to thank those people in the trenches that are helping us every day address this crisis. And we will not rest until everyone in our community has a home. Aye.
Hales.
Hey, folks, that's the deal. Everyone gets to come up here and speak. Everyone gets to be respected while they do, and it applies to everybody in this room. That's the deal, and if you don't want to respect that deal, we'll ask you to leave. Let's go on.
Hales.
I had a chance over the last couple of weeks to spend some time in the field with some of the folks on this list, and I want to reflect on the comments that have been made. This model of having the local government take the federal dollars we get, totally agree with your comments, Commissioner Fish, and do not believe the federal government is some inert thing that we cannot change. There are real elected officials who vote like we do in Washington, and they can be influenced, not just by corporations. So I don't believe that the federal government, as dysfunctional as it is a completely lost cause. They're doing the wrong thing, and they're not doing enough of the right thing, but they're not a completely lost cause. So all of us who care about these issues, citizens, these organizations, people at this council, need to put the pressure on every member of the Oregon congressional delegation to step up on these issues. So the federal government doesn't get a pass, and neither do we, and that's why this investment is very important. I've had some time to get out in the field with some of these folks, and I'm going to be doing more of that. I've seen and met the folks that Central City Concern have taken out of homelessness, gotten into housing, after they've gotten through treatment if they had a substance abuse problem, and now are working every day, getting a paycheck, rising into independence. It's, if you listen to the stories of those folks, you can't help but believe that's a good model. Earlier this week, I was out at our house and seen how they work with our mental health providers to deal with the particular difficulties of folks living with HIV and AIDS, giving them dignity and hope and medical care and housing. An amazing story of a successful nonprofit. Last Wednesday night, I was out on the street with Joins caseworkers while they were meeting with individual folks who were experiencing homelessness and trying to help them get the services. So these dollars are mostly going to that real work and those real housing units, and they are making a difference. Are we doing enough? Absolutely not. Are we looking for more models like R2D2 that can work? Of course we are. So we're going to keep trying to find more partners that are willing to help people, like the stories we heard of people getting helped here in this room. We're going to keep trying to find more of our own money, and we're going to keep banging on the door of the U.S. Congress and tell them to do their job, too. Thank you all for a great package, a package that will make a difference for a lot of people in our community, and for great work by the commissioners of housing, past and present, as well as a great bureau staff to put this package together. Very proud to support it. Aye. Thank you. Okay, let's move on. No, we don't take general questions. We'll move on to the rest of the council calendar. In fact, we're late for a time-certain item.
Item 714, authorize a grant agreements and intergovernmental agreements with 12 nonprofit and public entities related to the Community Watershed Stewardship Program.
Okay, do we have a presentation on this, Commissioner?
Yeah.
Commissioner Fish?
Thank you.
Okay, folks, let's let that work continue, please.
So, Mayor, I'm going to invite Jennifer Devlin and Cameron Harrington forward. And I think, Mike, are you joining us too? Is Mike Rosen here?
Thank you.
You're not coming up? Okay. You're here for
moral support.
Mayor and colleagues, today we have a brief presentation on the Community Watershed Stewardship Program, which, as you know, supports neighborhood projects that help us manage the city's stormwater. Each dollar we invest in a community partnership leverages up to $3 in volunteer time and in-kind contributions. It's a tremendous investment that provides multiple benefits to our stormwater system. In the process of implementing these projects, we build community and awareness of the importance of watershed health in maintaining water quality. This year, the Bureau of Environmental Services and I were very impressed with the number of partners who applied for grants. And I'm pleased to hand the presentation over to our crack team to announce the projects that the committee selected to receive grants this year. And I'm going to turn it over to Jennifer.
Yep.
Please. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm Jennifer Devlin with the Bureau of Environmental Services, and I'll let our group introduce themselves.
My name is Cameron Harrington. I'm a PSU student who's helped coordinate the QUISP grant program this past year.
My name is Tadele Galagay, a chairman from the St. Mary Ethiopian Orthodox Church.
Welcome.
My name is Paul Kavanaugh, and I'm an AmeriCorps member serving at David Douglas High School.
Good morning. The Community Watershed Stewardship Program, affectionately known as QUISP, which you'll be hearing a few times here today, is an 18-year-old partnership between Portland State University and the City of Portland Environmental Services. And the program awards up to $10,000 per project to community-initiated watershed health projects. We are very grateful that the council voted to reinstate the funding for this successful program. And we're really happy to be here today to tell you a tiny bit about the project history and the 12 community-based grants that we'd like to award this year. The QIS projects advance BES's goals of managing stormwater and protecting water quality and the health of the Willamette River and our local streams. Because all Portlanders have an important role to play in those activities, we've really worked hard to expand the program beyond the typical environmentally oriented groups. Since 1995, QISP has awarded over $900,000 in grants. And as Commissioner Fish mentioned, we are matched more than 3-1 from the community. So it's a great investment. One of the types of stormwater projects are eco roofs. We've funded 12 eco roofs over our years. We've also funded 57 stormwater features, like the ones that are pictured here. Rain gardens, bioswales, to take stormwater and let it soak more naturally into the ground. We've also funded 99 restoration projects, and all 236 of our projects have included an educational component. That's a very important part of our program. We've also funded 71 projects that include naturescaping, which are any projects that use native plants or community gardens or street trees to replace sod with plants that are allow a lot more rainwater to soak into the ground. We've also funded 16 pavement removal projects, including one at Join, that Join wanted to have so that homeless folks could grow their own food there at that site. So that was a cool project. I'm going to turn it over to Cameron, who's going to tell you a little bit about this year's program.
To achieve multiple goals simultaneously. And we've found that there's a lot of energy out there in the community to do projects that find an overlap of environmental and community benefits in the same project. So we collaborated with partners such as the city's neighborhood coalitions and the Office of Equity and Human Rights to reach out to groups around the city that we have not worked with in the past. On this slide, you'll see some of the new outreach materials we've been using over the past year, which share examples of some of these models of projects that find that sweet spot of overlap between community benefits and watershed stewardship goals. So on the left is our poster we've been using, which emphasizes that we have funding for your community project, for the project that you want to do in your community, and we'll find those projects that advance community benefits while also helping advance watershed stewardship. And we've also been sharing the examples of the other document on the right is a case study of one of our past grantees, the Our Happy Block Project, which 2 years ago used a grant to fund a stormwater management project, which also coincidentally cleaned up and added native plants to a church parking lot that was attracting criminal behavior. So it's an ideal example of that overlap between environmental benefits and community benefits. So this year, we received 43 applications, which are represented on this map by the dots, and you'll see that they came from all across the city. These applications came from schools and faith-based organizations, several neighborhood associations, immigrant organizations, watershed councils, and a wide variety of nonprofits and community groups. All told, these 43 applications requested over $330,000 from our program, and we had $95,000 to award. So this is the map, which you have a hard copy of in front of you, which shows on the white dots the more than 200 grants that we have awarded since 1995, and then the orange dots are the 12 projects that were selected this year. And these 12 grantees are excellent examples of projects that simultaneously manage stormwater, are led by diverse communities, and build strong partnerships in the community. So this is a list of the 12 projects which are being funded. They are in spread across the city in four different watersheds, the Willamette Watershed, the Columbia Slough, Tryon Creek, and Johnson Creek. Four of these projects create rain gardens to better infiltrate stormwater. Six of them replace sod and impervious surfaces with native plants, community gardens, and street trees. One of the projects restores habitat along Tryon Creek. And 10 of the 12 actively engage young people in a variety of green infrastructure, restoration, and stormwater management projects. And now we are very happy to give you the opportunity to hear from two of this year's grantees. First, I'll turn it over to Paul Kavanaugh, who is here representing the Sun School program at David Douglas High School.
Okay. Hello. So first, on behalf of Metropolitan Family Service and David Douglas Sun Program, and most importantly, the students and volunteers involved in the project, I want to thank you all for supporting us, and thank you to the Community Watershed Stewardship Program. Our mission in the project is to first empower youth as leaders and stewards both of the community and the Johnson Creek watershed, which we are in at David Douglas. Also to increase food access in the David Douglas community. We will also unite the school with the surrounding community and promote watershed health in our local community. How will we achieve the goals? The garden project will give students at David Douglas an opportunity to be leaders at all stages of the project. We have formed a garden committee with four student leaders who make up that group, and they will be and have been directly involved in the planning and implementation of the project. The group will also help lead other students and volunteers in carrying out the vision of the project. And throughout the process, students and community volunteers will learn to see their impact on the Johnson Creek watershed. They will also build leadership skills and gain experience in community planning and design. We will also, in collaboration with the Community Watershed Stewardship Program, students and staff at David Douglas and other community partners will educate the community on the importance and practice of creating a healthy watershed. In partnership with professional garden and watershed educators, the garden will hold watershed education events in tandem with garden work parties, which we're having our first one on Friday, the day after tomorrow. And in our efforts to directly improve the watershed, we will use naturescaping techniques, remove hard-packed sod, plant native perennials around our beds, and we will include stormwater features such as rain barrels, irrigation systems, and rain gardens. As for our efforts to increase food access, we will give families in the community the opportunity to volunteer in the garden in exchange for food, and we will also be partnering with the David Douglas Food Pantry, and the garden will be, once you know it grows, we will be a source of food for the food pantry, which will directly connect the individuals in the community to the source of their food. The partnership will help us, by offering educational resources for cooking, growing food, and preserving the health of the watershed, the impact of the garden will go far beyond the school. Thanks again for supporting our project. We are thrilled to be here and very excited to transform our school into a site where we can help improve both the social and environmental health of the community.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, and next I'll just introduce Tadala Gelage, who is the chairman of the board of directors at St. Mary Ethiopian Orthodox Church.
Thank you, Commission.
That wasn't your fault.
My name is Tadele Galagay. I'm originally from Ethiopia, as you know. And we have a community small church, immigrant church, with limited resources. We have about 60 to 70 members, and our building appears to be adjacent to Johnson Creek River. And we are having a long-standing problem for a number of years, the flooding problem, because our parking lot, we have only one drywall which catches all the run of water from the parking lot into the drywall. And practically speaking, this drywall was not functional and unable to infiltrate all the waters, and that water, and eventually when there is heavy rain, it's flooded into the building. Because of that, we are having a serious problem, because we have been placing sandbags, we're pumping water to the street, so we have been struggling for the number of years, even if we spend significant amount of time and money to maintain the existing drywalls. And just last year, this is the first time, in fact, we involved such a great project, and we were able to connect with a great partner. Thank you for the City of Portland Environmental Service to help us to connect with a great partner, which we haven't had experience before. One of them appeared to be DPF, two, the Johnson Creek Watershed Council, and the Greenland Watershed Watershed Program Council. So those are the three big partners that help us to energize and this make it happen. And we're extremely happy and grateful that this fund has been granted, and we selected one of them. So what we are doing right now is, basically speaking, we're getting this $10,000. We're able to raise some money by fundraising, and now we got the grant, and eventually we are going to start this project in the, about fall, which is September. So this gives us a big opportunity to eliminate this flooding problem in the church, and eventually creates a clean water. At the same time, creates a green environment, a green parking area, even in the parking lot of the church. So we thank so much for the city of the commissioners, City of Portland Environmental Service. We appreciate to give us this opportunity. We are very grateful to be part of this grant. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. That's our presentation, and I don't know whether Carla, has anyone signed up to testify?
Yes, we do. Right, we have three people signed up.
Before we take the testimony, I just want to publicly thank the mayor and my colleagues. As the community knows, this particular program, the Community Watershed Stewardship Program, was slated to be cut during the budget. And there was a last-minute reprieve, and the council supported a continuation of this program. And I think, as you've heard today from this presentation, a relatively small investment goes a long way to advancing multiple goals that we have as a community, the most important goal being watershed health. And I want to thank our team, Jennifer, and the whole team at BES, and Cameron. Cameron, what's your field?
Urban Studies.
Urban Studies. And thank all the folks who made the decision, and thank our two honored guests for participating in this program. And the matter is now before the council.
Great. Thank you all. Great presentation. Any questions for our panel before they yield the floor? Thanks very much for being here. Okay, so you have some folks signed up?
Yes, I have four people. The first four, come on up, are Joe Walsh, Nan Wiggins, Benjamin Pickering, and Spencer Burton.
Okay, come on up.
That's Joe, Nan, Benjamin, and Spencer.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Joe Walsh, Individuals for Justice. These programs are outstanding. I'm sure that surprises some of you on the panel that I would say that, but they are. And when you're right, you're right. And these are really good programs. Here's one of our concerns. These programs are funded under the Water Department. Am I correct on that?
Environmental Services.
Yeah.
Separate.
There is a move to take that away from you, and I think it's going to pass. And my concern is that these people that have these wonderful programs that are associated with the Department of Water will lose their funding. So this council should start thinking in terms of these programs are really good programs, and we got to find some money from the general fund to support them. Not take it out of the Department of Water, because next year it may not be yours. And the people of Portland, when they find out about the rates, they find about what you're doing with the reservoirs, they're going to be so angry with you, they're going to take it away from you. And these folks will suffer for your incompetence. And that really bothers me. So please, when you go back to your offices, understand that if you do nothing, you could really punish these people. And they don't deserve it. They work hard, they do a good job, and it's something that this city benefits by. And I want to leave that with a positive note, because we are truly concerned about this, because we will be part of taking the Water Department away from you. But we have great concerns about the residuals that will happen, and this is one of them, and this would be sad.
And
thank
Joe,
you.
Joe, just so, since I'm in...
I know you would have something to say to him,
well,
Mr.
Just because you said the Water Department, and these are funded by the Bureau of Environmental Services.
But that's part of the funding of the water.
No.
All right, good.
They're two separate bureaus.
They're two separate bureaus, but aren't they associated together?
When you get a bill every month, about two-thirds of your bill is the Bureau of Environmental Services, and about one-third of your bill is water.
Okay.
But the funding for this comes out of the Bureau of Environmental Services.
All right. Then let me ask you this question, and maybe I'll go back and tell everybody to relax a little. If the Department of Water is taken away from the council and the independent department is set up, or a utility system, whatever the name ends up being, will the environmental services suffer because of that?
The proposal is to have both the Water Bureau and the Bureau of Environmental Services, which is the lead environmental agency for the city, both would be transferred to a separate entity if it's successful.
So we're right back where my concern is that they would lose their funding.
Good.
Yeah. See, you're a lawyer. You go around and around, but you end up at the same place. My concern was that these people do not lose their funding. That's my concern.
We share that concern.
Yeah, okay. Well, you could do something about it by finding something in the general fund for next year to fund them.
Well, that was the big discussion we had during this year's budget, is that, in fact, it is entirely appropriate for rates to fund this program for the multiple reasons that you've stated. So, no, there isn't a big bucket of extra general fund money, because if there were, we'd be using it for housing, as we had for the previous discussion. So that's one of the reasons I think that most people on this council, if not all, are opposing the proposed utility district, is that they wouldn't be required to consider the greater benefits of things like the Community Watershed Stewardship Program. They would only be looking at decreasing rates.
That was really good. You switched the whole negative around back to us, and that's unfair. I don't know what will happen if the department is taken away from you. They probably will continue funding really good programs. You don't know that. I don't know that. You know, it depends on who sits on the board and what decisions they make. But you could do something. You could say, okay, if that happens and we can't convince this board to keep funding these programs, then we'll do it. Or we'll ask the county to do it. Somebody will do it. That's my concern. And you could do that. I know you're broke. You keep saying that you're broke, but you're going to spend $400 million covering the reservoirs.
Yeah.
So figure out how to borrow some money to do these things.
Joe, can I ask you to do something? Can you go to the people who are pushing the water district and ask them if they plan to continue funding this program if they take over the water and your environmental services?
Well, the problem with that is there's three different groups that are involved in this, and I don't think anybody has a veto. Well, so it would be very difficult for me.
Well, there's public advocates of it. Their names. Their names are Ken.
I mean, why don't you ask me what I would do?
Their names are Ken Crayford and John DiLorenzo. Will you call them up and ask them this question?
I think they're in charge of the initiative. They're not in charge of the.
Will you ask them if they think
they will not be in charge of the decision making? You know.
Hey, let him speak, please. Stop.
They will not be in charge of the decision-making. That will be decided by elected officials separate from you guys, if that goes through. My concern is all that's going to take a lot of time, and it's going to get really confusing if that happens. I think you could sit down and just say, you know, we got to work. If this thing is on the initiative and its signatures are taken, and it's going to happen in 2014, then you, as a local body, could say, we're going to save these programs, and this is how we're going to do it. Okay. And I'm being beeped again,
thanks,
as usual.
Thank you.
Thank Appreciate you.
Mr. Burton, you were called. Would you like to come up?
I also have Benjamin Pickering and Mary Eng also.
Good morning. You have to push the button on that particular microphone right on the base of the black box there. There you go. Now you're in action.
Okay, we up?
Yep.
Okay. First of all, I just wanted to thank the City Council and Mayor Charlie for putting the money back in for the Community Watershed Stewardship Grant this year. I know that was pulled out, and I know we're having budget constraints. But my project was one of the projects you funded this year, the Albina Tree Initiative. Is a partnership between the Boise, Elliott, and Humboldt Neighborhood Associations, the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods, Friends of Trees, and the Rosemary Anderson High School put at-risk youth to work planting trees in the Boise, Elliott, and Humboldt Neighborhood Associations. My goal is to get 1,000 trees planted in our neighborhoods, and I think this is a great step towards getting that done. It's how I'd like to see community economic development done. Use people from the neighborhoods for a benefit for the neighborhoods to green and beautify our city. And I just want to thank you.
Thank you, Spencer. Thank you,
Spencer. Thank you for taking the time to come in, Spencer. That was actually one of the projects that caught my eye because it is a project with Rosemary Anderson High School teaching kids the value of trees with Friends of Trees and then in partnership with the Coalition and the Neighborhood Association. So thank you. It's an example of how this program brings communities together.
Thank you, ma'am.
Morning. Charles, go ahead.
Thanks, Brett.
He's got it.
Live. I'm Charles Johnson. And I want to thank Commissioner Novick for bringing up the larger issue of potential changes in the water system. But I think the most important thing to do here is to thank Cameron Harrington and Paul Cavanaugh, young leaders and neighborhood activists, for this continued CWSP work. I think actually we should give them a hand right now. I hear somebody clapping.
Good job.
So, and some of us get very excited when we talk up here because we're concerned about some shortcomings, but I hope the city will keep that in the forefront. Whether it's done, whether we restructure with a new water and sewer authority or whatever, we do hope that all of you will remember what we say and call us to accountability so that we will monitor to make sure that not just the basics of Bull Run, unmixed water getting into the tap and sewers going away, but the other things that have to happen to have a healthy, livable community so Forest Park doesn't shrink and so that community activists can get out there and depave. I noticed there was some depave.org work up in some of those pictures. So when we yell at you and we make you feel uncomfortable, you're perfectly welcome to talk to us after council and be like, why didn't you get to talk to Kent about what they're going to do with their new water authority? Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, City Council. I have
just
about...
Put your name back into the record, Mary.
My name is Mary Rose Lenore Eng. A few things. Can we in the future have water at this table for your activists? The more passionate we get, I think the more we might get some dry mouth up here. I'm getting over my stage fright, personally. So while we're talking about water, just water for the humans, because humans need water.
I think water's good.
Yeah.
I love well water. I love
and
water.
I mean, to be sarcastic, I would say, why don't we just give all the water to Nestle? But since my mom was on a Nestle boycott when I was like 3 years old.
Mary, I want you to testify on this item, watershed. If you would.
Well, I want the watershed information in a blind, dyslexic, sign language, multi-ADA availability, because I have a panic attack related dyslexia sometimes, like if I'm under a lot of stress, like if the police beat someone I love, for instance. So I would really benefit if there were a sign language interpreter as well as an audio summary or cap of what is actually going on with our water. And then thirdly, I wanted to point out that the thing about the plastic near water is plastic is an endocrine disruptor and it's carcinogenic. So I'd appreciate no carcinogens near our water, just overall to be generalized. And thank you for everything you do in environmental leadership. I think that the tendency to presume that our government is doing things carefully and honorably is a lovely sentiment. However, we should find out more, and if some people are excluded from availability of information in the kind of accessible format, for instance, book on tape or compact disc or an MP3 or a YouTube, some of us don't even... Actually, I was going to read Watershed from the website. Do you mind if I do that?
Well, don't read it.
I've got 60 seconds. They're my seconds. Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
We
60 seconds, sorry. Apologize.
57? Okay, Portland Watershed. Let's see. It's on Learn About Portland's Watersheds. The city of Portland sits at the confluence of two of the nation's major river systems, the Columbia River and the Willamette River. Native salmon, steelhead, and other fish and wildlife species live within Portland's urban boundary and also migrate through Portland to... Okay, I'll skip to Watershed if I can find it. So I don't know. We don't have this much rain in California, so maybe you could help me understand what's going on with the water.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to know a little bit more about it, too.
Go ahead. Just give us your name again.
Oh, Benjamin Pickering. I'm kind of with her, but as long as she talks with me, I'd like to ask you guys a few questions about it, too.
Well,
but
don't ask us. You're here to just testify about these grants, so not ask us questions.
Okay, well, I'm not ready for this. I'll just let her talk for my 3 minutes, then, because she knows a little bit more. I'd like to say a few things, then. You know how they go around and register to vote because they, like, say you go out there and register to vote because they want to, at the old Willard and Dog track, it happened a little while back. I don't know if anybody heard about that. You know, the recreations, the upbringing, you know, the schools, the prayer, in the kids' recreation and water parks and different stuff. But I think I was hearing a little bit more about, there's, you know, having a problem with, polluting certain things of, like, when water rises, you know, it happens to do different things. But also there's this, you know, thing where the water just built up and it, like, it polluted some things where it overflowed. What was that place that we were talking about?
Oh,
I know a little bit more. I've been hearing a little bit more. I just kind of introduced you to this kind of thing. But, you know, you guys, if you're registered to vote or whatever, but, I mean, I have my own input about what I hear about things. I'm pretty smart about being in the field of understanding people. But if I had a little bit more detail on it, you know, I just, you know, so sorry that I didn't have much to say. But anyway, go ahead.
Thanks very much.
Thanks
for coming. Anyone else, Carla?
Nan, were you speaking?
Mm-hmm. Have a good night. Good evening.
It's very short. talking about the Mount Tabor Reservoir.
Well, this is actually not about the Mount Tabor Reservoir. This is about some community watershed grants. So could you speak on that subject with us?
Am I off track when I speak of the Bull Run watershed?
Yes, you are. This has nothing to do with that.
Well, I have no more to say.
Okay, thanks for coming. Thanks. All right, anyone else to testify on this item? Okay, then let's take a roll call.
Before we go to a vote, can I just have a council colloquy?
Yep, please.
This Commissioner Novick raised an interesting point in a question he raised earlier. And one of the things I've had the honor of leading the Bureau of Environmental Services now for about 6 weeks, and visiting employees out in the field, visiting projects they're doing. And what I constantly hear from people is that they support programs like this Watershed Stewardship Program. They support low-income discounts we give to seniors. They support our Greater Green programs, which uses nature instead of pipes to manage stormwater. They support our team approach to dealing with Superfund and cleaning up the river. And I don't know whether they're aware that those are all issues that we are currently the subject of a lawsuit brought by the very same people that are behind the petition that have said flatly that all of those expenditures are illegal. So to your question about asking the petitioners what their intent is, I think I know their intent because as someone who's actually read the complaint and seen that every single program supported by the community that uses nature to address stormwater runoff has been challenged in a lawsuit, I think I know what their ultimate goal is. And so I appreciate you framing that question, but I think the answer is in front of us.
Good point. Thank you. Let's take a roll call.
Novick?
I'm very pleased that we reauthorized this program. It does a fabulous job in engaging diverse communities around the city in stormwater management and watershed protection. I also have to say that I have a sentimental attachment to the acronym because it reminds me of my childhood. When I was a kid, there were these two twin sugar cereals, Quisp and Quake. Quake was a miner that had a hard hat with a flashlight on it. Quisp was a little alien that had a propeller on his head. I was very fond of both of them. And I was delighted to learn, actually looking at Wikipedia earlier today, that Quisp was recently reintroduced as a mass market grocery item in late 2012. I hadn't seen it on the shelves yet. And my suspicion is that Quaker Oats has noticed the success and the popularity of our Quisp program and decided to capitalize on that by reintroducing the cereal. So I think we could all be proud of that. Aye.
Well, thank you to Jennifer Devlin and Mike Rosen and the team at the Bureau of Environmental Services. This has been a program that's been going for 18 years now. I wrote one of the very first grants and got it, and I have to say that I barely recognize the program now compared with the one that I participated in as a very new citizen activist in my neighborhood. It's done so much more to do outreach and to look at the equity components. It certainly always did partnerships. I think my first grant was $3,000, and our project ended up being $28,000. So, but it, as well as Watershed Health, Commissioner Fish, which is rightly the reason that we do these community watershed stewardship grants and the reason that it's important that they be part of the rate-funded programs of environmental services. They do save money and they do manage stormwater appropriately. So again, the proposed utility district won't be looking at these wider community benefits, one of which is also community participation. And for me, as a new person who had previously been most interested in stopping land use decisions, applications for subdivisions, to have the opportunity to do something constructive, to partner with the school and the neighborhood association and multiple other programs, including getting a trip to the Bull Run, which was an amazing experience that I have not repeated because I think it's a sanctuary that we should only go to once in our lifetime if we're really lucky. It was an amazing experience to know that that was my government, that was my tax money going to provide this program that then provided multiple benefits for people. And to see that it's still doing that today and yet focusing so much on the equity components, I love the way you have it written up, highlighting how you did the outreach. And the fact that you included the Office of Equity and Human Rights in that outreach is another good step forward. Emails and phone calls to groups that hadn't previously applied. And as a result of that, if you look at the pattern of the old grants and the pattern of the new, we have four east of 205 and one in Lentz in this package. We have many in north and northeast Portland. And so it's proven its success, and I appreciate the council putting it back into the environmental services budget. And I hope this is the kind of program that we need to be telling people about. In addition to the outreach over covering the reservoirs and the other controversial things, there's a lot of good things that government does, and this is one of them. Aye.
Fish.
So I want to thank a few of the people that, again, have made this day possible. First, Mike Rosen. Mike, would you raise your hand? And in Mike's free time, he is working tirelessly to save our schools, and his day job is Watershed Division Supervisor. So, Mike, thank you. Jennifer Devlin, would you raise your hand? Jennifer is the Environmental Program Coordinator for BES, and she has been overseeing this program and doing a wonderful job. Thank you. And to the committee that worked to make the selections, I want to thank you. And and particularly to Cameron Harrington, and thank you for your outstanding presentation. How long have you been doing this?
About a year and a half.
Well, we really appreciate you volunteering your time to get it right. To our honored guests who are recipients, welcome and thank you, and I'm especially pleased that the linkage between David Douglas High School and the Sun program. In our existing community gardens, we give Sun School programs free plots, so we encourage kids to grow healthy food. The fact that we have a whole garden set aside for a Sun School program is terrific. Commissioner Saltzman is not with us right now, but I want to acknowledge his leadership on this program because it was Dan that put two of the components into this program, which are reflected in the selections today. One is equity, and second is disadvantaged youth. And they are part of the criteria we use in making these awards. So I want to thank Dan for his leadership. And I also, frankly, want to thank my colleagues again. This program could have been cut during a difficult budget year. But in response to overwhelming community support, we kept it in the budget. And I think today is another illustration of why it's important that we do so. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Hales.
I might want to give Commissioner Saltzman a chance to vote since he arrived. We're voting on. Let the record show.
Hales.
This is a great program, and it obviously leverages a lot of value for a small amount of money. But as I think has been pointed out, it leverages a lot of volunteer activity as well. I had a chance to see that not abstractly but in person because I just sort of happened upon the community celebration for one of these projects last year, which was the Our Happy Block project, where, again, a church community and a neighborhood organization and a lot of folks got together to put that project together with the Bureau. And, you know, I just wandered by, saw this amazing celebration, heard about it, had a hot dog. That was nice. Thank you. And the spirit of that gathering was pretty great. It was collaborative. These folks had worked together. They felt ownership, not just the church members, but the whole community of what they'd accomplished. If you go by there now, you see it's still in wonderful shape, and it's being beautifully maintained as well as well-conceived and well-built in the first place. So it was a teachable moment for me, and I think all of us look forward to more of those moments when these great projects are completed. Thank you very much.
Mayor, before you...
Oh, yes, please.
...the gavel, I neglected to thank Emily York
on
my team,
who is
now tasked with the Bureau of Environmental Services, and thank her for her work.
Good job. Thank you all. Aye. Okay.